Welcome to Now. I'm David Byrd.
And I'm Manny Eck.
There's a program in Brooklyn, New York that is helping low-income young people learn how to start their own business.
Our primary mission is to use the vehicle of entrepreneurship to get young people to think differently and to think differently about their options in life.
We'll meet a couple of guys who is helping to bring the excitement of science to young people.
Speaking of excitement, there's a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie starring Megan Fox.
Oscar winner Helen Mirren stars in a new movie that breaks cultural stereotypes using food.
I keep saying to people, do not eat before this movie, but book a nice restaurant, not an expensive restaurant, but a restaurant, or know where you're going to afterwards, and go eat, because it's like, it's a very, very romantic movie in that sense.
What's so good that it's brought actor Clive Owen back to television?
And a new exhibit highlights life along a legendary U.S. highway.
That's all coming up on this Monday edition of Now. The latest U.S. figures put youth unemployment at just over 13%, more than twice the national average.
But there's a program in New York that is helping at-risk, low-income young people learn how to create their own jobs.
VOA's Bernard Schussman tells us how the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship is changing these people's lives.
This was the first day of business for La Cinco America Central American Food. And there's no one more proud than its owner, Sofia Contreras. Sofia has dreamed of this moment since she was a child. Last year, the Nifty Summer Program gave her the roadmap to make it happen.
It's teach me a lot of like how to grow my business, how to make MVPs. I make MVPs, minimum viable product, that I went to test out like proposals to sell them at low price or high price. What was my target market and where was my target market? And I researched online and find this place really cheap on rent, and the neighborhood doesn't have like other Hispanic restaurants around. So I was like, oh, I found the best place for me.
In this classroom, 35 high school students are being put through their paces. The first 2 weeks are called boot camp, as business ideas are formulated, presented, and critiqued. This young man proposed making T-shirts that show contrasting figures and their ideas.
What we also have is a Karl Marx and Ronald Reagan T-shirt, which shows a contrast between different economies.
After presenting their ideas, it's time to head out to get consumer reaction. This team explains the product and tries to get a feel for whether they're on the right track. The students are also critiqued by trainers in the classroom, and each is assigned a mentor. Terry Bowman, executive director of Nifty in the New York region, says the mentoring part is critical.
A large number of our corporate and foundation partners supply us with mentors to serve in the program. Our primary mission is to use the vehicle of entrepreneurship to get young people to think differently and to think differently about their options in life.
Back at Las Cinco Americas, Sofia Contreras is happy and proud. She made her business plan, sold the concept to the Nifty people and a group of investors. This milestone is an emotional one for Contreras, who recalled her mother's sacrifices to support her family.
My mom, she has been working like more than 14 years, and when she worked, like, people used to pay her like just little amount of money because she didn't have papers. So I always wanted to give her something back.
The Nifty program helps young people like Contreras in the United States and 10 other countries. In New York, 3,000 students are trained year-round, 15,000 nationally, and thousands more globally. Bernard Schussman, VOA News, Brooklyn, New York.
So how about you? Let us know your thoughts by logging on to our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
Or email us your questions or comments at voaasia@voanews.com.
And to see video of this story, log on to our website, www.voanews.com. While the Nifty program helps young people learn about starting a business, a couple of citizen scientists want to inspire young people to get into science.
Aaron Alford and Jason Osborne's program, Shark Finder, hopes to bring the excitement of scientific discovery to classrooms.
VOA producer June So and Mary Alice Salinas tell us their program was recently recognized by the White House.
It's a shark tooth that's probably about 60 million years old.
There's another tooth. Look at that. Another big tooth. That's ridiculous. We're in a good spot.
Aaron Alford and Jason Osborne are at a fossil site along the Potomac River, 80 kilometers south of Washington. They have had a passion for fossil hunting since they were kids.
I was out fossil hunting along the bay one day. Jason walks up and says, "Hey, how you doing?" Before too long, we figured out we were both country boys and had a lot in common.
That was 12 years ago. Ever since, Osborne, a mechanical engineer, and Alford, a public health researcher, have conducted underwater expeditions and donated their findings to museums. 4 years ago, they co-founded the citizen science group PaleoQuest and designed several programs, including Shark Finder.
The great thing about Shark Finder, the Shark Finder Citizen Science Project, is we can bring the field research to the classroom.
We're going to break this sample up. So we're going to run the material through the sifter, and what's left in the sifter we're going to put in the bucket, and then that's what we're going to take to the students.
In the classroom, students look at sediment under a microscope or hand lens to see if they can find any shark or ray fossil remains to send to scientists. At a recent science and engineering festival, school children also looked through material Osborne and Alford had collected over the years. University of Maryland paleontologist Brendan Kent says the students save researchers a great deal of work.
If they find any tooth that we think is significant and requires further study, they receive a certificate stating that they found a scientifically significant specimen. If that specimen's ultimately used in any paper, they get credit for finding that specimen in a professional publication.
Grayson Sacchino, a seventh grader at a Loudoun County school outside Washington, is among the students who have received a certificate.
I'm very proud of myself for finding something. I didn't think I'd actually be able to find anything, but now that I have the certificate, I think it's just encouraging me to be an archaeologist.
Our last speaker is Jason Osborne of Shark Finder.
Osborne was honored as a Citizen Science Champion of Change by the White House last year.
Not trying to build tons of paleontologists, but we are trying to build tons of interest in science itself.
Osborne and Alford hope to expand the Shark Finder program nationwide and globally as well. For producer June So, I'm Mary Alice Salinas, VOA News.
To learn more about Shark Finder, log on to our website, www.voanews.com.
That's also where you can see video of this story.
And let us know your thoughts by visiting our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter, at Now VOA Show.
Tomorrow, way too far away. We can't get back yesterday. But we young right now. We got right now. So get up right now. Cause all we got is right now.
A new live-action version of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles opened last week here in the United States.
The movie tells the story of how four unlikely heroes look to overthrow an evil overlord who has controlled over New York City.
The four heroes, all brothers and all trained in ninja fighting style, are mutated turtles named Raphael, Michelangelo, Donatello, and Leonardo.
The film is produced by Michael Bay, who also produced the hugely successful Transformers franchise.
Megan Fox, whom Bay removed from the Transformers series, stars as April O'Neil, a television reporter who discovers the turtles and becomes their ally.
That's what I'm talking about!
Like shadows in the night, completely unseen.
Who's that?
It's a camera flash.
Give me the camera.
Oh, look, he's doing his Batman voice.
Back off, Rat!
Do not say a word about this to anyone. If you do, we will find you.
Yeah! We'll find you.
I'm sorry, that came across super creepy, okay? That's... we will find you, though.
At the movie's Los Angeles premiere, Megan Fox told the Associated Press that she and Bay worked their differences out, and it was great to work with him again.
I had meetings with Mike. I was on the phone with him a lot. He was awesome with me on this movie, like a super easy experience. I feel like I have a special relationship with Mike now. I love him, and he's actually a big fan of the movie, thank God. Because if he loves it, then you know it's good, because he would not say he loved it if he didn't.
Josh Applebaum co-wrote the screenplay. He says that Megan Fox and April O'Neil have a lot in common.
Megan is sort of the underdog coming into this movie, like April's the underdog. Nobody believes in April O'Neil. Nobody thinks that she's good enough to be a reporter or takes her seriously. Megan has, you know, some of those problems coming into the role of April, so there's something kind of fun and meta about that at the same time.
Director Jonathan Liebsman says that Fox put a lot of her own personality into the role.
What I loved about her was she's extremely brave and outspoken, as you said, and I wanted to bring that into her character. So she is bringing a lot of her natural self into April O'Neil, which I think is what makes the character strong, and it plays into her strengths.
Will Arnett plays April's cameraman, Vernon Fenwick. Arnett, who also starred in this year's The Lego Movie as the voice of Batman and is known for his TV work on The Millers, says he has been a fan of the Ninja Turtles series for years.
I kind of fell between the cracks on the Turtles, but I had a younger brother, much younger, who was a big fan, so I got to kind of experience them through him. And then in the last few years, I've been able to experience it again through my own kids, who are just legitimate, huge Turtles fans. So when I first became aware of the movie and that they were going to do it, I could see through my own kids how excited they were and their friends about it, and what a great story it was, and what a great sort of what great characters they were. So I was excited also to come aboard.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles also stars Oscar winner Whoopi Goldberg as Bernadette Thompson, April's editor.
And it stars Tony Shalhoub as the voice of Shredder, the Turtles' arch enemy.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is distributed by Paramount Pictures and is rated PG-13 for fantasy violence.
So what about you? Are you a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan? Do you plan to see this movie?
Let us know your thoughts by logging on to our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NowVOAShow. A new movie from producers Steven Spielberg and Oprah Winfrey has Oscar winner Helen Mirren starring as a woman whose world is changed when an Indian family opens a restaurant across the street from hers.
The film, The 100-Foot Journey, has Mirren as Madame Mallory, the owner of a Michelin-star French restaurant in the south of France.
Madame Mallory's world is turned upside down when the Kadam family buys a property across the street from her establishment and plans to open an Indian eatery there.
In the south of France, her restaurant had no equal.
Last night, we served this. In this restaurant, the cuisine is not an old, tired marriage. It is a passionate affair.
Until one family...
Papa, slow down. Stop!
Push!
...stirred things up.
I want to buy this restaurant.
Bonjour. This is private property.
Excuse me, do you own this property?
No.
Oh, that means you are trespassing too.
Mirren's character does all she can to keep the Maison Mumbai from opening, but soon learns that Hassan Kadam has a prodigious talent in the kitchen.
Madame Mallory takes Hassan under her wing, something that doesn't sit too well with his father.
Don't try to steal my children.
I will report you, Mr. Kadam, for making too much noise.
And I will report you for attempted child abduction.
Have you even asked the boy what he wants?
You deliberately seduce him. You seduce his mind with your awful, tasteless, empty sauces.
At the New York premiere, producer Steven Spielberg told the Associated Press that the movie is about more than food.
It's a movie about love and understanding, and it's a movie about the spaces between the cultures and how we fill those spaces so the cultures can basically come together. And in this picture, we have the French culture, we have the Indian culture, but it really speaks a universal truth. So it doesn't leave out Americans, doesn't leave out Spanish, doesn't leave out anyone, because it's representative of another way to sort of live in peaceful coexistence.
Helen Mirren, who won an Academy Award for her portrayal of Queen Elizabeth in The Queen, says the fact the movie involved French food attracted her.
I think that, also the fact that it was shot in France, because I'm a big Francophile. I love France. I love the French countryside, French culture, the French language. I speak pretty good French. I really wanted to do the whole role in French, but I couldn't because it's an American movie.
Indian actor Om Puri plays the patriarch of the Kadam family. He says Mirren was able to put him at ease on the set.
Very professional, very giving. You know? I mean, there was a scene between us where we danced together, and I was not prepared for it. And she patted me, took me under her wings, and she said, "Don't worry, we will work out." And she helped me in that.
Manish Dayal plays Hassan, who blends Indian and French cooking in a way that Madame Mallory cannot ignore.
You know, the movie really is about people who are overcoming adversity and going beyond limitations in life and really going after their higher purpose, and that takes bravery, and that takes, you know, risk. And that's what the 100-foot journey means. That's what the 100 feet of the 100-foot journey actually indicates. And so that's what the movie is about. And it relates, it can be, you know, everyone can relate to it.
Producer Oprah Winfrey says that director Lasse Hallström created the perfect atmosphere on the set for this kind of movie.
I was hoping Lasse could just put me in the scene in the restaurant. I could be in the Indian restaurant. I could be in Helen's restaurant. It was, you know what I noticed the very first moment I entered set was that Lasse had created this family that really, for it looked like a family. And you feel that when you're watching the movie. The fusion of the family, the cultures, the food, it's all there.
Director Lasse Hallström is known for another film about food, Chocolat, starring Julia Binoche and Johnny Depp, as well as for What's Eating Gilbert Grape and the 1999's The Side of House Rules.
Hallström told the Associated Press at the New York premiere that the story jumps over cultural prejudices to get at our common humanity.
There's no censorship. There's no, the taste buds don't think in terms of borders or prejudice or any of that. So it goes directly to your heart. So it crosses borders in a nice way, doesn't it?
The 100-foot journey is distributed by Disney's Touchstone Pictures. It features original music from Oscar-winning composer A.R. Rahman and is rated PG for language and sensuality.
So do you plan to see the 100-foot journey? What do you think about food crossing cultural boundaries?
Let us know your thoughts by visiting our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NowVOAShow. A new series from Cinemax marks British actor Clive Owen's return to television for the first time in nearly 20 years.
The show, The Nick, is a historical drama about the Knickerbocker Hospital in New York in the early 1900s.
Owen plays Dr. John Thackeray, the newly appointed head of the hospital. He's a driven man and a brilliant surgeon who pushes the boundaries of medical science and doesn't tolerate those who don't share his passion.
Which nurse changed the dressings on this man?
I did.
How long have you been here?
Almost 3 weeks.
Then you should already know, Nurse Elkins, that the goal is to keep the patients alive, not kill them with negligence after a surgeon's done his best to save them. I expect everyone to be well-versed in their responsibilities.
Owen says that even though he has been doing movies for the majority of his career, the writing and the story grabbed him and he had to do it.
It was just hugely exciting. And, you know, as an actor, when you get a piece of material that you react to like that, it's irrelevant what it is and the medium and how long. It's about you just set alight. You just want to be involved and you want to play that part. And so I committed.
Owen's character is an opium addict and a racist, but he also cares deeply for his patients and is committed to finding new ways to treat them.
Thackeray's racism comes to the surface when he is joined by Dr. Algernon Edwards, a Harvard graduate and gifted surgeon in his own right. But Edwards, played by actor Andre Holland, is black.
to be frank, Dr. Edwards, I only agreed to this meeting as a courtesy to Miss Robertson, but I am certainly not interested in an integrated hospital staff.
My skin color shouldn't matter.
Well, if it doesn't matter, then why was that information held back from me?
You'll have to ask Miss Robertson.
It's also nowhere to be found on your credentials.
Is your race listed on yours?
There's no need for it to be.
Clive Owen says that the screenwriters wanted his character to be authentic to the period, just 35 years after the end of the U.S. Civil War.
The thing about the whole series is that they have been incredibly faithful and authentic to the period. And they've done a ton of research. And if we're going to deal with the race issue, it has to be dealt in a real way. That you could easily write me as the most forward-thinking, open-minded, but it's not realistic, and it's not the way to go, really.
The Nick is directed by Oscar winner Steven Soderbergh and is available on Cinemax.
Route 66, the legendary highway from Chicago to Los Angeles, offered a road to a better life for many Americans.
The road became a symbol of wanderlust in the 20th century.
As VOA's Mike O'Sullivan tells us, an exhibit in Los Angeles looks at what was known as the Main Street of America.
Route 66 covered nearly 4,000 kilometers of the American heartland and west, and generations came westward on this route long before it became a paved highway. The writer John Steinbeck called it the Mother Road, and it became a symbol of freedom for 1950s Beat Generation writer Jack Kerouac, author of On the Road. His manuscript, typed on a 35-meter scroll, is on display at the Autry National Center of the American West, which has put on the Route 66 exhibit. Also, there is Woody Guthrie's guitar. The folk singer was one of many who celebrated the highway, which offered an escape from drought-ridden Oklahoma during the Dust Bowl years of the 1930s.
That 66 highway, it's mighty hard. All day you're hot, all night you freeze. But we gotta have work, so we're taking a chance from old Oklahoma to Los Angeles.
Jazz musician Bobby Troup was another who celebrated the highway with this 1946 hit.
More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Curator Jeffrey Richardson says much of the country's growth in the West during the 1940s and 50s happened along the highway.
In the explosion in American society that took place in the post-World War II period, an explosion of economics, of people, Route 66 really became both a major thoroughfare to move people across the country, but it was also a popular tourist destination.
The road captured the country's imagination in the 1960s television series Route 66. By then, the highway's importance began to fade. President Dwight D. Eisenhower spearheaded the construction of a national interstate highway system in the 1950s, and as the system grew, it bypassed more and more sections of Route 66. In 1985, the route was officially decommissioned, but much of the old road still exists. For most who traveled the route west, the Pacific Ocean in Santa Monica, California, is the end of the journey. Dan Rice sells Route 66 souvenirs on the Santa Monica Pier and travels the road many times.
I've done it 29 times now, yeah. And that's from beginning to end, Chicago to Los Angeles. If we were counting just the times that I did it through the Southwest, I can't even count. I've done it a lot.
Autry Center curator Jeffrey Richardson says Route 66 is an American symbol around the world.
And since we've put this exhibition on, I've had friends and colleagues that have traveled across the world who have sent me pictures of Route 66 shields and other things in cafes in Paris.
Dan Rice has met tourists from Norway, Saudi Arabia, and Australia who have come to make the journey. And for people in Los Angeles, the westward end of the highway, the freedom and adventure of Route 66 still beckon. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Now.
If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at voaasia@voanews.com.
Or visit our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Now VOA Show.
Patrice Martin produces our program.
The managing editor of VOA English is Diane Gao.
Until tomorrow, I'm David Byrd.
And I'm Manny Eck.
Join us again for another edition of Now.